going to invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. I'm going to invite you to look at verse 1, and we'll read to verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16. Before we do, let's open in prayer. Lord, thank you for being our God. You are worthy of our praise. And so I do pray that you would help us now, that we would worship you by our attention to your word. I do pray that the Spirit of God would use the word of God in a mighty way. I pray that you would help me to be able to convey these truths from this passage. And may your Spirit minister to the deepest needs of our hearts, as only you can do. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jehiel, and Shemarimoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jehiel, with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and to his brethren. What an exciting time in the nation of Israel. The ark had been brought back and it was placed in a special tent. And they were all now gathered to worship the Lord. And it's neat because you see that David had obviously been prepared for this moment, because one of the first acts of worship that he does is he brings this song to the musicians and he delivers this song to be sung to the Lord. And so this psalm that Brother Dan read is listed in verses 8 to 36. And this psalm is sort of a medley of several different kind of psalms. And we can learn a lot about our God from these. And we can also learn a lot how we should worship the Lord our God. And so for the sake of our time today, I've actually outlined this medley of songs according to the three songs that are listed in here. And we see that they're sort of calls of worship. And you see that the intent of each of these songs that we'll look at is that Israel would just thank Yahweh, that they would thank Jehovah because he is worthy, and that they would go beyond just thanking him, but that they would share what God has done with the nations, because he alone is God. So we see that the theme is centered around that intent, and really the theme is give thanks directly to God and then broadcast him to the world. Don't you think that should be a good theme for our lives?
Yeah. Okay.
Give thanks directly to God and broadcast him to the world. So the idea is the tagline, if they were to have a tagline, it would be thank God and make him known. It's kind of similar to Cornerstones, right? To know Christ and to make Christ known. The theme here is to thank God and to make him known. And so we'll begin with the first song in verse 8, and we're just going to breeze through. We're not going to cover every area that we could cover, but there's certain things that I want us to learn about God, and then certain aspects of worship that I want us to look at also. So the first call to worship is in verse 8 all the way to 22. And it's interesting, we see this repeated in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3. So it seems like in their songbook, this was repeated several times. So those are the two places that we see this particular medley. And notice how he begins in verse 8. And again, we see this intent. Give thanks to who? The Lord. So, folks, what we see here is that part of worship is being thankful to our God. Amen. I want us to kind of think about that as we go through, that our thankfulness is an act of worship to our God. And on the opposite end of that, if you're not thankful, you're not worshiping God. So that's an important theme for us to think through as we go through, that the giving of thanks is a form of worship. Worship doesn't happen just on Sundays while we gather at 900 Route 163. You understand that, okay? This is an act of worship. And David is calling the nation of Israel here to give thanks unto the Lord. Notice what he goes on further in verse 8 to say, call upon his name. The idea is to call him out. Okay. I don't know if there's anybody's birthday here today, but let's say that it was somebody's birthday and I could call that person out and say, oh, it's their birthday. That's the idea here. As you're giving thanks to God, we call him out and say, he did this. This is what God, oh, this isn't me. This isn't me. This is God. Call upon his name. Call his name out and make his known, make his deeds known. So God did this. And so part of our thanks is not just saying thank you. Okay, certainly that's important, but we need to make him known. Amen. Call him out. Amen. And point out the fact that God is doing this. Folks, that's part of worship. And that's what we need to be doing. That's why on a Sunday night, when we have a time to give praises, many of you will raise your hand and say, hey, God did this. This week I was this way, but God did this. Oh, I was praying for this, and God did this. Folks, that's what we're called to do. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. Look at verse 9. He says, to sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. So we see that part of worship is what? Singing. Oh, folks, we ought to be the best singers out there. Hey, not that you need to sing, not that you have to have a beautiful voice or to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but we need to be a singing people. Oh, don't be afraid to sing out to the Lord. I love seeing our young people out sing all of you older people. I love that. You know, there's some of you sitting there, okay, and they're, you know, their mouth is all wide. Oh, isn't that great? We serve a great God. Amen. And so he's worthy for us to show his worth in the way that we sing. I like when I look out, there's certain people that I look out and I talk to some of you. So if I talk to you, you know that I'm talking about you. There's some people I look out and I'm like, oh, I want to sing like that. Oh, I want to praise God like that. I don't want to be this way. You know what I'm singing? Praise the Lord. You know, it needs to be in our eyes. It needs to be in our face. And so that's what David's calling them to do, worship and song. And folks, our music and our singing needs to declare his praise. And a little side note here, we got to be careful with the kind of music that we partake of, because music is a form of worship. And if we're partaking in music that is worldly and sensual and devilish, it doesn't bring praise to God. We need to be careful with the music we listen to, because it's an important part of worship. So we don't just gather here on a Sunday and have songs like in a kids ministry. We just, you know, sing songs. You know, we're trying to teach things with singing. But as we gather as a church body, we're showing God's worth, or we ought to be showing God's worth in the way that we sing. And that's what he's calling them to do, that you need to sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Notice he goes further in verse 9. It says, talk ye of some of his wondrous works. Does it say that? What does it say? Talk ye of all his works, all of his wondrous works. What do you talk about? brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you talk about? What do you most talk about? Don't ever fear talking about God.
Amen.
Don't shy away from it. Talk about what He's teaching you. Talk about what He's done for you. Talk about His creation. That's why I love that Sunday school this morning. Talking about how God has made us. It's unfathomable. Even AI can't even describe it. Okay, in its full worth. And our God did that. And so don't be afraid to talk about His creation and His creative ability. He's the greatest artist that there is. You understand that? We look at some of this modern art and it's mostly garbage. It's rebellious. It's sensual. It's pleasing to the flesh. It's not. But you look at our God. Wow. Creates the earth and the heavens. And folks, those are the things that we need to talk about. We need to talk to our children about those kind of things. We need to talk about His power and His victory in our lives. We need to talk about how He's reigning. Oh, do you ever get discouraged? Well, maybe it would be an encouragement if another brother in Christ came along and talked about how God is reigning today. What a great thing to talk about and get you out of that slump. He's reigning today. He's reigning forever. So brothers and sisters, don't shy away from talking about Christ. Talk all of His wondrous works. You know, we don't have enough time to talk about Him.
Amen.
You know that. And so I would encourage us to stop talking about trivial things like sports and politics, and what's going on in the news. Stop it. Talk ye all of His wondrous work. There's so much to talk about, right? Don't you think that we'd be much more encouraged if we talked about Him instead of politics?
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Certainly worldly entertainment, the nonsense of this world. Let's talk of all His wondrous works. And that's what David's calling them to do. He writes this song, and part of the song is, talk ye of His wondrous works. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Notice verse 10. He goes on. He says, glory ye in His holy name. We need to glory in Him. The idea is that we need to take time to revel in His perfections. It's all about Him. As I was, years ago, as I was putting together my doctrinal statement, part of that doctrinal statement is just who God is. And one of the things that I enjoyed most about putting together that statement was just to study and glory in the attributes of God.
Amen.
And there's a couple ones that, you know, God really encouraged me with. And part of my doctrinal statement, you'll read it if you read it, is praise God. Okay? This is my God. Okay? And who He is. And folks, we need to talk. We need to glory in His holy name. That's what we're called to do. Glory in Him. Revel in Him. Because it's all about Him. Folks, you know that. It's all about Him.
Right.
It's not about you today.
Right.
At all. It's never about you. It's all about Him.
Amen.
And so because it's all about Him, look at verse 11. Notice what David says in verse 11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. And so the idea is, because it's all about Him, what do you need to do? Follow Him. Seek Him. Seek after Him. And I want to point out, we've talked about this before, but I want to point out, I believe it's very important, verse 11. There's two very different seeks there. Okay, in our English language, it's translated as the word seek. But if you look at it in the Hebrew, there are two very different Hebrew words here. And they have a little nuance that's very important here. The first seek in verse 11 is seek the Lord in His strength. It's the idea of treading after something. The idea of following after where someone has already gone. So it's like the idea of a hunter that's tracking after the markings of an animal. And where those markings go, the hunter will go. And folks, that's the idea of this word seek here. Tread after the Lord and pursue Him. Where He tells us to go, where he tells us we need to focus on, that's what we're going to do. So it looks like something like this. God, how do you want me to live my life? Okay? I'm going to look for your markings. Okay? And again, I'm being respectful with this. I'm not trying to be disrespectful with this illustration. But it's the idea of pursuing what God has laid out for us. And so, God, how do you want me to live my life? I'm going to seek after you. God, how do you want me to live my life? God, I can't do this on my own. So how does your word instruct me on how to live? Folks, this type of seeking isn't something you just do on Sunday morning. It's a persistent habit of seeking after the Lord. So wherever God goes, wherever God says my life needs to go, that's where I'm going to go. And as I follow him, his strength follows me. So seek the Lord and his strength. Folks, when you seek the Lord this way, he's not going to leave you weak. He's going to give you his strength to do what he's called you to do. Maybe you say, God, I can't do this. God, I can't teach a Sunday school. God, I can't plant a church. God, I can't witness to this person. God, I can't be this kind of coworker. Well, seek the Lord. And as you seek God and he leads you where you need to be, he's going to give you his strength also. So that's the first seek. Notice the other seek in verse 11. Seek his face continually. And this is a desire to really search or investigate in what something is. Okay? So the idea is being thorough in your investigation. And notice what we're called to seek in this way. We're called to seek, what is it? His face. What does it mean? I can't see God's face visually. What he's talking about here is my face is here. Okay, let's use this illustration. My face is here. So what does that mean about me? I'm present. Okay, so the idea here of seeking his face is seeking his presence in your life. Sometimes we call this God's manifest presence, where there's such a closeness with God and his word that we know he's here. Amen. There are times when maybe you've been praying and it's like you just know God's hearing your prayer.
Right.
Oh, it's not that you're going to open your eyes and he's sitting there. Okay, we're not talking about that. But there's just such a closeness. There's a warmness. There's a connection. And I'm not being mystical here, but there's a reality when you know your God.
Amen.
And you're praying. And the Spirit of God is bearing witness to the truths that you're even praying towards. You're just close to God.
Amen.
And there's a wonderful closeness that you have. Folks, that's what we're to seek. We're to seek his presence. We can't overlook the fact that God is always present. Okay, so I'm not saying that God is not present. We need to somehow pray that. Okay, God is always present. But he chooses to make his presence known. And he chooses to dwell with a certain type of person. You see this in Isaiah 57, verse 15. I dwell in the high and holy place. With who? With him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God dwells with those who are of a broken in a contrite spirit before him. And his presence is known in their lives. And folks, it's like his face is shining on your life. And that's what we're told to pursue, his presence. We need to seek after the direction where he wants us to go. And we need to seek his word. But we also need to seek, God, I want you with me in here. Oh, God, I need your help in church planning. Oh God, I need your help. And I want to know you as I parent. I want to know you as I go into my golden years. God, I want to know you through high school. I want to know you as a child. And I want your presence in my life. But folks, who does he want? What characteristics does he want from you? He wants humility. He wants humility. And he wants that brokenness before him. And so the idea is, of seeking his face is to persistently searching out his desires and his presence in your life so that you can know his favor in your life. Verse 12 goes further in this first call to worship. And notice what he says in verse 12. He says to remember his marvelous works. The idea of remember is just keeping it in mind. Don't forget. And notice there's several things he tells them not to forget. Don't forget his marvelous works. His wonders. That word wonders is the idea of miracles. I've told you about this before, but I have a 3x5 card. And I have it in my Bible. And I look at it every morning. And there are about 5 specific miracles that I just jotted down. There's many more. Okay, but I did that several years ago, and that's a constant reminder of these miracles that God has done in my life. And I wonder, folks, have you done that? Are you remembering those miracles? You know, we even testify on a Sunday evening, like, wow, God did this. And we say things like, I was really surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, because my God is so big. But it was like a miracle. And folks, oftentimes we forget those things. And then we start going through a trial again, and we become discouraged and fearful because we've forgotten. So David is telling them, remember, keep in mind his marvelous works. Think of some of the marvelous works that God did for them. Parting the Red Sea, saving them multiple times, leading them just a miraculous way. He says to remember those marvelous works, his wonders. He says his judgments. And then notice verse 14, he also tells them, this is part of this same paragraph, he says, he is the Lord our God. Folks, don't forget that he is the Lord our God. So yes, remember the marvelous works, his wonders, his judgments, but remember he's the Lord your God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Remember that. Don't forget that. And then he tells them to be mindful in verse 15 of God's covenant. To be mindful of God's covenant. Look at verse 15. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generation. And he talks about the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how it's an everlasting covenant. Folks, God's covenants don't fail.
Amen.
This covenant is specific to Israel. And guess what? That covenant won't fail. Verse 17, notice what he says. And to Israel, for what kind of covenant? It's an everlasting covenant. Folks, I want to push back at some of this theology that's out there. This covenant wasn't a temporary covenant. This covenant is everlasting. And so God has a purpose and a plan for Israel. And their disobedience didn't negate God's covenant. And nowhere do we see that the covenant was even dependent upon Israel. Okay, so we're pushing back. This is a great passage to go to against some of this theology that pushes back that Israel is not necessarily part of this covenant anymore. And look at verse 18, how God reminds us of an important truth here. Verse 18 saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan and the lot of your inheritance. So God is the one who gave them. He says, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. So the covenant was based on not their obedience, but it was based on this is something God spoke. And this is something God was going to do. And it's an everlasting covenant. I want to remind us that God isn't finished with Israel. And we need to remember that even as believers in Jesus Christ, God is not finished with Israel. And we did not replace Israel with any of these covenants or anything like that. God is not done with them. And he has a great plan and a great purpose for them. And so that's the first call to worship that we see. And that brings us right into our next call to worship. And these other calls to worship will not be as long as this. But I want you to see the next call to worship beginning in verse 23. And again, we see this theme of thank him and make him known. Notice what he says in verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth his salvation. Declare his glory where? Among the heathen, his marvelous works unto who? Okay, so praise God and then broadcast what he's done. And why? Why are we to declare his glory to the nations? Look at verse 25. He says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. So all your idols, they pale, and nothing compared to God. Our God made the heavens. Glory and honor are His presence. Strength and gladness are His place, are in His place. And so our God is far beyond all other gods.
Amen.
And He deserves to be declared. Our God is so amazing, and He calls everyone to worship the Lord. Notice verse 28, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name, bring an offering, worship the Lord. Verse 30, fear before Him. And then notice in verse 31, he calls the heavens, the earth, let all men among all the nations. Look at verse 32, He calls the sea to praise the Lord, the fields to rejoice. Verse 33, then shall the trees of the... You see what's going on? He's calling everyone and everything to praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful anthem of praise?
Okay.
Our God's worthy of it. He's worthy to have the very heavens declare His glory. Right? The gods of this world, the false gods, the gods that maybe we trust in, the gods like the United States government, or our security, or our money, all those things, those false gods, they're nothing compared to our God.
Amen.
Our God created the heavens and the earth, and all creation will bow before Him. So Christian, never forget that our God is worthy of praise today.
Amen.
And one day, every knee will bow before Him.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, don't forget that they may not want to bow the knee today and worship Him today, but they will one day.
That's right.
And all creation will bow before our God, and He's worthy of our praise. The third call to worship we see in verse 34 and 36, and this is also repeated in Psalm 106, and it follows that same theme. Thank Him and make Him known. Look at verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is what? For His mercy endureth forever. He gives two reasons to thank the Lord here, and I love both of these. First of all, He's good. And I know many of you love that theme. Even when you pray, you thank the Lord that He's good. And we're called to thank the Lord and to give thanks unto the Lord and to broadcast who He is, because He is good. And folks, I want to remind us that He's good even when we may not think it's good. Oh, he saddened with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. But He's still good. He knows our suffering. He knows the struggles that we face. But we still need to give thanks because He is good in all He does. We see, secondly, to thank Him is because His mercy endureth forever. Folks, His mercy is everlasting. He's always kind. Do you ever get irritated with people? Maybe you have a neighbor like that. Okay. Maybe a family member and you get irritated with. And you've asked him like 6 times to do something or don't do something. And our mercy runs dry really quick, doesn't it? But God isn't like that. And folks, we can sin multiple times in a day and go to Him and receive mercy.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? And it may be the same thing multiple times. It may be a different thing multiple times throughout the day, multiple times a day. But praise God, we can go to Him for that renewed mercy, and we can confess that sin. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then it cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Folks, do you have that tenacity with your mercy towards people? No way. But God does. And He's that way to us. And so we need to give thanks to Him. And not just thank Him, we need to declare it to others, because He's so good. His mercy doesn't quit. And he shows us mercy over and over and over again. Notice these truths about God calls them to desire something. I think this is really neat. And this praise that they offer isn't just empty praise. Notice what they say in verse 35. And so verse 34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But look at verse 35. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may, what? Give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Folks, they wanted their lives to be a testimony of praise to God. So God, save us. God, gather us. God, deliver us from the heathen so that we may praise you. May our lives be a testimony of your work. Folks, they wanted God to do great things through their lives so they could testify of him more.
Right.
So they wanted these. They weren't saying, give me trials, but they were saying, God, we want you to deliver us. God, we want you to save us. We want to be gathered together so that we can give thanks to your holy name. They didn't simply want deliverance. They didn't necessarily want an easy life. They wanted to be able to exalt God through his miraculous deliverance. And folks, do you believe that this came true? I mean, over and over and over again, God was doing this miraculous work of saving and gathering them back together and delivering them from the heathen. What a great testimony of praise to God. And notice at the end of this call to worship, they praise God in verse 36 by saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And notice how all the people responded. They said, what?
Amen.
Amen. That's true. This is true. And we hear this often. Maybe some of you who are new, when you first came, you heard somebody yell out, Amen. And you're like, what on earth is that? What they're saying is, that's true. And you can even say that's true if you want. You could say, Amen. You heard different people saying different things, but it's that's true. Truth. What has just been spoken is truth. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. Amen. That's true. And they praised the Lord. What a wonderful response to the call to worship the Lord. And so, yes, all of those things that we just looked at, those three songs in this melody of songs, they're true. Yes, he's good. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, I want my life to be used by God to bring him glory. And hopefully that's true of you. Yes, if it means going through trials, if it means going through suffering or hardship, I want God to be praised. I want him to be honored. And I want my life to testify of his deliverance. So as we close these three calls of worship, I want us to consider some of these truths that we looked at and apply them to our lives. Remember, the intent, the theme is to thank him and broadcast what he has done. So I know, and I want to be careful, I know that we're not Israel. Okay, so please don't think that Pastor Jake is preaching that this is Israel. We're Israel. I'm not preaching that. Okay, but we serve the same God. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not Israel, but we serve the same God. He's worthy of our praise. And there's much to be thankful for. And so I want to just ask you, do you have a thankful spirit? Or are you the kind of person who's always like looking around, seeing how you could be critical? Ah, I stubbed my toe today. The day was really bad. The tire was flat on my bike. Okay. The food was burned for dinner. Right. You know, anyway, folks, you see, we get so miserable about the silliest things, but we have much to be thankful for. Okay? So do you have a thankful spirit today? Maybe you're down because of a circumstance. This passage reminds us to give attention to God in his great works. Remember his miracles. Thank him for what he's done and the promises he promises to do. So you may be down, but it's time to remember his works. His miracles and the great promises he has for us. Maybe it's time for all of us to slow down and start being deliberate in thanking God for what he's doing. Do you ever get so busy and you just go from one event to the other? You have your Google Calendar, you have everything, it's all different colors. Okay? And it's like a rat race sometimes. And you forget, God's doing great things. We need to be thankful for what God is doing. Maybe you're the kind of person who always talks about the negative. All these negative things going on in your life. Or maybe you're not even that kind of person. Maybe you're one of those people who just talks about fluff. Are you that kind of person? There's people out there. You could talk about everything except Jesus Christ. You could talk about, even believers are this way. They will talk about everything except the Lord. And it's just kind of fluff. Okay? God wants us to talk about Him. And He wants us to praise Him throughout our lives. And folks, I'm concerned about even Cornerstone. When we come together, don't talk about fluff. Right?
Yeah.
Okay? It's like marshmallowy stuff. You know, let's ask each other about our God. How good was God to you this week? Oh, great. Well, what made it great? Okay. Start praising God by talking about Him. Maybe there's areas of your life where you're seeking after pleasures of this world, and maybe you kind of come to the place where you realize there's something lacking. God, what am I missing here? Well, I think that verse 11 kind of speaks to all of our lives where we need to seek the Lord. Stop seeking the things of this world. Our God is a great God, and He's worthy of our praise. And if you will seek Him, you're going to find His strength, and you're going to find His direction, and you're going to find His presence through that faithful obedience to His Word. And folks, there's no better way to live. There really isn't. Seek the Lord and seek His strength. Maybe you're doing a great job of being thankful. Okay, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm doing a really great job, Pastor Jacob, being thankful? Okay, thank you for being honest.
Okay.
We all have room in that, right? We all need to be thankful to our God. But maybe you haven't been making His praise known to those around you. Maybe you're thankful in your heart, but maybe you haven't just made His praise known. Maybe you'd say, yeah, I give praise at church. Yeah, on Sunday evenings, I'll raise my hand and I'll praise. But maybe I'm quiet around the unsaved. Maybe you're that kind of person. Yeah, I'll give a testimony at church, but speaking out and praising God, and you know, I don't do that amongst the unsaved. Maybe I'll share a testimony in my home, but I'm not going to speak praise of God to maybe my coworker. Okay? I'm not gonna do that. My coworkers maybe know that I'm a believer, but I'm afraid to openly praise and thank Him. Folks, verse 24 says, "Declare His glory among the heathen." Declare His glory among all nations, you see at the end of that verse. And so we need to speak up and not just thank God directly. We need to declare it to the nations, to the heathen. And maybe you're in a category. Maybe you say, Pastor Jake, I'm not saved. Maybe you've rejected God or haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're still in that category of being unsaved. Maybe you're in the category of being the heathen, as is talked here. You could turn to God today. Man, what a testimony that could be. What a witness of praise to God that could be today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your life could just be a testament of what He did.
Amen.
Friend, if you're part of that category, if you're unsaved, can I encourage you that God can save you? And God has made a way through Jesus Christ. And your part is simply trusting in what God has already done for you. Oh, you don't have to pay money. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. You don't have to go to a particular church. You don't have to have this perfect life. None of us are perfect. But if you're in that category, won't you deal with that today? You could begin to declare His glory among the heathen. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay? Going from being dead in your trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ, and your life could be a testimony of what God is doing. Christian, can I encourage you from verse 34? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And the end of verse 36, blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said,
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this instruction that we've had from Your Word. I do pray that You would help us in being brothers and sisters in Christ who sing Your praise day in and day out. Would You forgive me? Would You forgive us for often talking about fluff when we should be talking about Christ? Thank you that you are great and good. And I do pray that our lives would be a testament of your greatness. I do pray that you would help us to be bold in speaking out for Christ. And I pray that that our lives, as we go through suffering, as we go through trials, and as we go through hardships, that we would be able to point to you and praise you, but also declare your greatness to this world. Lord, thank you for being such a miraculous, wonderful God. And I pray that you would use these truths in our lives in a mighty way. I do pray that we would live for you and that we would seek after you. And Lord, if there are some here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would see their need. May your Spirit reprove them of sin and of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ and the coming judgment. Help them to see that the issue is urgent. And I pray that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as believers not to just talk about fluff, but that we would praise you and sing your praises forevermore. Maybe there's some areas, Lord, that we need to get right. I do pray that you would show those things to us, and may our lives be a living testimony to your greatness. Lord, thank you for being our God, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.